Chapter 2. Rowan. Tuesday night. Brussels, Belgium. Rowan took Clara's hand and tugged her away. He could feel the fury radiating down her arm. Those photos had obviously pushed her buttons, and Rowan was impressed that she was able to affect such a pleasant face while squeezing his hand until his fingers were bloodless. Passing Thorne, Honey, and the American diplomats, Rowan was very careful to divert his attention. It looked like the stars had been aligned tonight. Mission accomplished. Rowan had done what he'd come to do. He had shown his face to Sergei Prokhorov. Sergei was confronted with compromising information, was implicitly threatened, and a bounty paid for silence. Sergei had allowed Rowan to take what he wanted, stood beside him, and facilitated Rowan taking it. He and Clara were training their asset. When we ask, you need to give us what we want. Message delivered. Rowan allowed power to surge through his body. Exchanges like this always reminded Rowan of his tactical studies of the North American Great Plains intertribal wars. Killing wasn't always the goal of a warrior. As a matter of fact, counting coup was sometimes considered the braver deed. The warrior would demonstrate his courage by proving his superiority over his enemy, risking his life to touch or strike them. Humiliation was a fighting tactic. It was the tactic they had just employed. Even Clara's making fun of the guy's dick, calling it pathetic, was strategic. Emotional emasculation. Their approach had been a necessary psychological attack, something that couldn't have happened from a distance. The look in Sergei's eyes told Rowan that retribution was coming. Rowan didn't know when or how, or even if it would be a direct hit on him. Sergei might go after someone else in intelligence, or maybe a government official. Someone that Sergei and his family had collected compromat on. That was something to monitor. But tonight? Tonight, Rowan would allow himself to feel victorious. Those thoughts swelled Rowan's head as he and Clara hustled down the marble steps toward a queue of taxis, waiting to take the partygoers to their next destinations. Halfway to the bottom, Rowan saw three men walking shoulder to shoulder down the sidewalk. Anyone in their way had to step onto the grass or street. They ruled those bricks. One talked into his phone. All three snarled at Clara and him. Rowan pivoted, dragging Clara around with him. As he placed his foot to step upward and scurry back where they could get lost in the gala crowd inside, four more goons pushed through the carved wooden doors of the museum. Sergei must have borrowed some enforcers from friends at the party. They were about to get sandwiched between the two teams. Rowan twisted again, looking for options. There was a group of about 20 that buzzed together at the far end of the stairs. They laughed loudly and called jokes to each other, their voices amplified by alcohol. Rowan and Clara entered into their swarm just as the group moved off the steps and walked down the sidewalk. Rowan pushed Clara in front of him and held onto her elbows as he steered her into the center of their mass, his height giving him the visual advantage. Together, the friends jostled and joked down to the corner of the walkway, turned to walk some more, and then entered into a parking garage. While Rowan disliked doing ops in men's bathrooms, he hated doing them in parking garages. Their cover group stopped to call their goodnights, shake hands, and cheek kiss. Breaking into couples, they headed off to find their cars. Rowan slipped his hand into Clara's lower back and tried to walk them nonchalantly toward the elevator bank. As Rowan swiveled his head and smiled down at her so he could use his peripheral vision, he muttered, "Incoming, 5. Leader's phone to his ear. He's calling shots on a wider op." Poor choice of idioms, Rowan thought. Hopefully there would be no shots, no guns.
5 of them?
Clara asked, elongating her stride.
2 unaccounted for?
There was an echoing shout. They'd been spotted. Rowan grabbed for Clara's hand and pulled her behind a delivery van. They bent in two, running along, peeking through the car windows, trying to stay off the bad guys' paths. The protection team had found out and were moving systematically, applying their training. Suddenly, Clara scooped the front of her dress up.